Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, April 12th, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini. I just got back from seeing Water for Elephants on Broadway. I will be talking about that in a travelogue episode over on Patreon if you want to hear that. That'll be in the feed sometime on Friday. If you want to hear that and all my thoughts on every show that I'm going to see on my trip, head over to patreon.com/BroadwayRadio, broadwayradio.com/Patreon, and sign up at the mezzanine tier and above. Now, one programming reminder is that when I see shows that are in previews, I do have to save my thoughts until they are officially open. That is obviously not the case with Water for Elephants since that opened last month, so I will be talking about that. One thing about Water for Elephants I will note is that, unfortunately, Isabel McCalla was out when I saw the show. She apparently sustained a little bit of an injury, and the doctors advised her to sit out for the weekend, so she won't be back until Tuesday. But everybody else was in, so I will talk about that one tomorrow. I will have to save my thoughts on the Broadway version of Hell's Kitchen until that one officially opens later in the month. But on Thursday night, we did have another Broadway opening, and this one happened over at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater. I actually walked past it as I was heading over to see Water for Elephants, and this is the new musical adaptation of The Outsiders, of course, based on the S.E. Hinton novel of the same name and then the subsequent Francis Ford Coppola film. This show features a book by Adam Rapp and Justin Levine, music by Levine and Jamestown Revival. They also collaborated on the lyrics as well. It is directed by Danya Taymor and choreographed by Rick and Jeff Cooperman. The cast, much like the film before it, has a ton of young principal cast members. Hopefully some of them will go on to be just as big of stars as folks like Patrick Swayze, Rob Lowe, Tom Cruise, Diane Lane, Emilio Estevez, Matt Dillon, Ralph Macchio, and others that were in the film. But if you are unfamiliar with what this story is about, it is set in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1967. Ponyboy Curtis, his best friend Johnny Cade, and their greaser family of outsiders battle with their affluent rivals, the Sox. This thrilling new Broadway musical navigates the complexities of self-discovery as the greasers dream about who they want to become in a world that may never accept them. With a dynamic original score, The Outsiders is a story of friendship, family, belonging, and the realization that there is still lots of good in the world. As of recording time, the review aggregator site Did They Like It has collected 13 reviews. 4 of them were positive, 8 were mixed, and 1 was negative. We're going to start, as always, with the New York Times. Jesse Green reviewed the show, and despite the fact that I would say that it's mixed, it is certainly not positive, it is not a critic's pick, but there is a lot about this show that he clearly liked. And I actually appreciated the first few paragraphs of his review, and you know, you guys know that I generally take some issues with Green and his reviews, but I want to read that for you, which sets up the positive sides of his argument. He said, quote, "For many young misfits and wannabes, The Outsiders, published in 1967, is still a sacred text. Written by an actual teenager, S.E. Hinton drafted it in high school, it spoke with eyewitness authority to teenage alienation. Even if its poor greasers and rich socks, the book's shorthand for society types, now seem like exhibits in a mid-century angst museum, their inchoate yearning has not aged, nor has Hinton's faith that there is poetry in every soul. These tender qualities argue against stage adaptation, as does Francis Ford Coppola's choppy, murky 1983 film. It introduced a lot of young stars, but it's a mess. The material doesn't want sophisticated adults mucking about in it, or worse, gentling its hard edges for commercial consumption. Harshness, tempered with naivete, is central to its style and argument. To turn the novel into a Broadway musical, with the gloss of song and dance that entails, would thus seem a category era worse even than the film's. And yet, the musical version of The Outsiders that opened on Thursday has been made with so much love and sincerity, it survives with most of its heart intact. Youth is key to that survival. The cast, if not actually teenage, their singing is way too professional for that, is still credibly fresh-faced. 5 of the 9 principals are making their Broadway debuts. That there is no cynical distance between them and their characters is in itself refreshing to see. Also key to the show's power is the director Danya Taymor's rivetingly sensorial approach to the storytelling, even if it sometimes comes at a cost to the story itself. Many stunning things are happening on the stage at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater. He obviously goes on to talk more about the show, talking about where the story might be at a cost for the visual presentation. But he wraps up the review with something that I think is important. He says, quote, "It's a strange paradox on Broadway that its bigness, when used humbly, can honor quiet, delicate ideas. Whether it can sustain them is another story. In The Outsiders, they are not sustained. The structural problems mean its achievements don't stick. But they're still achievements, and a show need not be for the ages to be for the moment. In that sense, it's fair, citing Frost, to call it golden, nature's hardest hue to hold. So that is a mixed review, certainly, but that was about as positive of a mixed review as you could possibly have. Sarah Holdren, writing for Vulture, said, quote, "If The Outsiders sometimes traffics, perhaps unavoidably, in cliché, it makes up for it with the tenderness and muscle of not just its songs, but its staging and performances." Adam Feldman of Time Out New York gave the show 3 out of 5 stars, saying, quote, "I suspect that a lot of people will like The Outsiders more than I did, but to me, its approach misses the central thrust of Hinton's story." Matt Widman of AM New York was mixed, saying, quote, "The book, which stays dutifully true to the novel, has difficulty reconciling bursts of excitement with the plotting and character details of the novel. With Brody Grant, who looks far too mature to be playing the sensitive 14-year-old ponyboy Curtis, slowly narrating exposition to the audience and sentimental solos that stop the show in its tracks. By Act 2, the show felt like a mechanical procession of plot progression and teen melodrama." Charles Isherwood, writing for The Wall Street Journal, was positive, saying, quote, "Under the fluent direction of Danya Taymor, the young cast is sensational, engulfing the theater with emotional heat and an authentic feeling sense of passionate loyalty to one another, primarily among those playing the greasers, who are the focus of the story." Chris Jones, writing for the New York Daily News, was negative, though, saying, quote, "This new Broadway musical is not all I had hoped. The show loses its narrative thread in the second act, where the requisite narrative tension dissipates instead of intensifying. And the show, which lacks the humor of the structurally similar Newsies, gets stuck in an overly introspective and melancholic loop. It's understandable why. The source novel is proudly reflective and ruminative, but musicals invariably have to be fueled by action, emotional change, and resolvable determination." If I could put all of these reviews into a blender and come out with one statement to kind of sum them all up, that might be from Zachary Stewart's review from Theater Mania. He said, quote, "By no means the worst musical of the season. The Outsiders still left me disappointed by its lack of a coherent vision. The creatives clearly did the reading, but the result is a B+. Of course, if you would like to read more of these and other reviews, you can check out the entire review roundup from Did They Like It in the show notes. Also, we have the first look at the official highlights from the show, so if you want to check that out too, you know where to find it. All right, that is not the only things that we have to talk about today, because we had a lot of news. So let's run into this first, starting over the New York Post with Johnny Oleksinski, who has a report that Patti LuPone, who famously gave up her Equity card a couple years ago, is coming back to Broadway, but it's in a play. She has been teasing this for the last few days, actually, not being very subtle about the fact that she very well might be coming back to Broadway in a play. We do not yet have any official press release or statement about this, but Oleksinski says that LuPone will be coming back to Broadway this fall in a play starring opposite the one and only Mia Farrow. They will be doing Jen Silverman's two-hander, The Roommate, on Broadway at the Booth Theater starting in late August with a mid-September opening. Apparently, Jack O'Brien is set to direct. This would be the show's New York premiere, even though it has been around for about a decade-ish. The run is currently set for 4 months and is being produced by the man who signs the checks, Chris Harper. The show is about a woman in Iowa, played by Farrow, who takes on a lodger from the Bronx. Guess who that's going to be? One nice thing about the Post article is that Oleksinski kind of does try to get into what it means for the fact that Patti is no longer a member of Actors Equity. So apparently the production is going to try to make a right-to-work argument, but New York is not a right-to-work state. However, some sources told the Post that, like, Equity can't stop her from doing the show. They can pick it, they can do all these other things, but if she does not have an interest in being an Equity member, there's very little that they can actually do. We'll see what actually happens. I just can't imagine Equity picketing Patti LuPone. Like, are you serious? If I had to guess, I think at some point they'll come to some sort of resolution. Patti will rejoin Equity or something. This is going to be a story, and I don't think that Chris Harper wants this to be the story, and I don't think that Equity wants this to be the story either. So Patti LuPone back on Broadway in a show that will star her opposite Mia Farrow. That, even if the show is not necessarily the most dynamic thing in the world, based off of Oleksensky's opinion, having seen the show in its world premiere 9 years ago, it'll still be quite incredible to see those two stars on stage. And he does double down on a previous report that he made at the end of his article. He says, quote, "What a coup next season will be for fans of Broadway's great divas. They'll get the rare chance to see three past and present Mama Roses from Gypsy inside of just a few months." He, of course, is talking about LuPone in Roommate, Bernadette Peters in Old Friends, and he says, quote, "I swear, Audra McDonald in a new revival of Gypsy." As we talked about before, Audra McDonald had poo-pooed the report that she was going to be starring in Gypsy. You know, I hate to ever contradict Audra McDonald, but I have heard that this is actually happening. So I think at the time I'd actually noted that she danced around actually giving like a Marshall statement and saying, "This will not happen. I'm not doing this." And she was very careful with her words. I do think that Oleksensky is right and that Audra will be doing Gypsy on Broadway next season. But that is not the only shows that we have heard might be trying to make it to Broadway this season. In a really great article from Michael Paulson in the New York Times talking about commercial off-Broadway theater, in which regular Broadway radio guest Oliver Henry Roth is quoted, they talk about the fact that two shows that we have talked quite a bit about here on Broadway radio will be looking to come to Broadway next season, perhaps as early as this summer. Those two shows are Job, which Grace has championed from the very beginning, and Oh Mary, which I have argued since the day I saw it, needs to come to Broadway. The plan, apparently, according to the New York Times, is for Oh Mary to come this summer, which is what I've always said is probably the best option for that show. I think it very well could come into the Lyceum, which is a little bigger maybe than I would want it to be, but it's got less than 1,000 seats and it is currently open. There are a number of plays that are closing in June. Obviously, some of them could extend, and there are things that are closing in July as well. And with Conrad Riccamora, as we know as of yesterday, being a part of the City Center Encore's production of Titanic, maybe a July 1st preview would make a little bit more sense in this case. All right, since we are sticking on rumors, I have one more for you. And this one comes from, of all places, the Watch What Happens Live after show. Stage and screen star Michaela J. Rodriguez was on the show and, in talking to Andy Cohen, kind of hinted at the fact that she might be coming back to Little Shop of Horrors. Now, she has not done Little Shop off Broadway at the West Side Theater, but she did do it in the production that I think Robbie and I talked about earlier this week, out of the Pasadena Playhouse, where she starred opposite George Salazar. In answering a viewer's question about whether or not she could revisit the show off-Broadway, Rodriguez said, apparently with a wink, quote, "You never know. There might be something pop up there. Who knows?" Similar to Audra going the other way, not a definitive statement that she was definitely going to be doing the show, but also leaving plenty of room open to jump in to Audrey's very, very tight black dress. All right, I'm going to wrap up here with a feel-good recommendation, and this is the first highlights from the Paper Mill Playhouse production of Gun and Powder, starring Lisa LaFontaine, Sierra Renee, and Hunter Parrish. You can check those out in the show notes, another show that is probably angling for Broadway if everything goes well out in Millburn. All right, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio, and you can follow me on Instagram at BWWMatt. Have a wonderful Friday, a wonderful weekend. Check out Patreon, and I'll be back to talk to you on Monday.